QA and QC, stop work orders, and the Nuclear Regulatory Commissions have all taken place at the facility. So those are before they ship to the site.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Steve. Always fun to watch the movies. Next presentation is on the nuclear education initiatives in South Carolina, and we're going to have three presenters. I'm going to introduce them all at once, and then they can sort themselves out. So first is Dr. Susan Windsor from Aiken Tech, Dr. Sunny White from Midlands Tech, and Dr. Travis Knight from the University of South University of South Carolina. Each school has a different type of initiative, and I asked them all to come today to pretty much cover the gamut of what South Carolina nuclear education is doing. Susan, you want to be first?
Well, good afternoon to the committee, and thank you for inviting us to present today. Just a little bit of background about me. I'm Dr. Susan Windsor, president of Aiken Technical College. I've been there approximately 14 years and in the technical college system for 28 years. So I've been around a little bit of time. And let me tell you what I'm going to talk about today. We have three nuclear-oriented programs at Aiken Technical College: radiation protection technology, nuclear quality systems, and then an upgrade to our welding program to make more suitable for the nuclear industry. Now, I know that you all know where Aiken is and the significance of location. And of course, Aiken is located in proximity to the Savannah River site. It's a very important entity within our community. And of course, we're sitting between two nuclear facilities that are both in expansion, VC Summer, which we just heard about, of course, and Vogtle in Georgia. So it does, by proximity and location, make us in a unique place in the United States where there's a great deal of nuclear construction and activity going on. Because of that proximity, an organization called the Savannah Riverside Community Reuse Organization, which I am a member of and the current chair of, launched a independent workforce study in 2009 that covered the facilities that I just mentioned. And basically the findings of that study is that there would be approximately 10,000 new workers needed over the course of the next 10 years that would cover the gamut of professional, engineering, technical, and craft. And as we in our region looked at that, we realized that we had both a challenge and an opportunity. And clearly the opportunity was to prepare our own citizens for those good paying jobs, and that's what we set out to do through the Nuclear Workforce Initiative, through the CRO. And it involves five regional colleges and universities in the Aiken-Augusta region. I put up the sample advisory committee members for our nuclear programs just to let you know that they are rather robust. And I do want to make mention now that SCANA, through VC Summer, is a primary advisory committee member, and they are our Nuclear Energy Institute sponsor for accreditation of our program. And I'll talk a little bit more about that. But because of the uniqueness of the employers that we have within our region and the diversity of the nuclear employers within our region, we do have relationships with companies that go beyond our initial or immediate region. So let me talk a little bit about radiation protection technology first. Actually, it was the Savannah Riverside that first approached us in 2007 and alerted us to the fact that there was going to be a dire shortage of radiation protection workers. That was only escalated with the stimulus and the fact that decommissioning was accelerated at the site, requiring more radiation protection workers. We launched first a certificate program at that time. We actually contracted with the Savannah Riverside and the contractor there at that time to deliver qualified radiation protection workers to them. And we did meet that goal. and through a fast-track program with Savannah River Nuclear Solutions. We then built that program over the 2008-2009 into an associate degree, and then we are now registered with the Nuclear Energy Institute Nuclear Uniform Curriculum Program, and SCANA is our primary sponsor in that, and that means that they look over us. In some ways, they're our INPO, and they make sure that our training program meets the standards. One of the things that I've personally become involved in is actually serving on mock boards for the accreditation of training programs at nuclear utilities, and actually have served on two for SCANA in preparation for their board at INPO. So that helps me better understand the requirements of these programs and the rigor that are required within the career fields. We did finish our certification under the NEI NUCUP program. We were one of the first in the nation in the radiation protection arena to do so. That means that we met very high standards, and therefore we were able to issue additional certificates to graduates who met the highest standards that's portable and recognized nationally within the nuclear utility. We also are serving on the RPT Regional Advisory Group and serving through the RCNet effort, which is a grant through the National Science Foundation that actually Midlands Tech and other colleges in South Carolina and the nation belong to as well. So a large web of relationships there. One of the unique things, in addition to meeting the standards of the utilities, is that we also meet the standards of Department of Energy. Because we are serving a wide variety of employers within the nuclear industry, it is a strategic advantage for our graduates to both meet the standards through NEI of the nuclear industry for a particular technical field, as well as Department of Energy. And we're the only program, two-year program in the United States that actually has crosswalked those standards to make sure that the students are flexible in moving into any of those areas. There won't be a test on this, so you don't have to worry about the courses, but I did want you to see a little bit about what we do offer within that program. It is very rigorous, and I want to point out that we do require an internship for graduation. This is, again, somewhat unique. We do require our students to complete about an 8-week internship where they have the required competencies that they have to demonstrate during that time to graduate. What that does do is it gives the students a great advantage then in placement. So when our students graduate from our radiation protection program, not only do they have an associate degree, if they perform well, they also have the additional nuclear uniform curriculum certification. They have received their HAZWOPR certification, their pulmonary assessment and fit test, and during their internship, they have real hands-on experience. And one of the most important things is that they are badged at a nuclear facility. So they have been pre-cleared to work at a nuclear facility, which again is a great opportunity for them in their employment. They also have passed their nuclear utilities fundamentals exam. So when they leave with a cadre of skills and certifications, and that means that they can work in a variety of settings, and this map is to show you that we have students who are working at nuclear utilities, Department of Energy facilities, Department of Defense facilities, as well as medical facilities. Because of the nuclear science aspect and the radiopharmaceutical field, they also can work in those areas. So we've had about 85 students who have graduated now from our program and nearly 100% placement rate. And I give, of course, the faculty all the credit for that, but the fact that we built our relationships far and wide has been a great benefit to those students as well. What we're looking at, of course, is to continue to expand our relationship through the National Nuclear Science Foundation, through the Science Foundation. We are expanding our internship opportunities. One of our newest partners is now the Newport News Shipbuilding. We do have interns that are currently working there and have been hired there. So, again, in that aspect of the arena, as well as in the utility world, very much into the human performance and nuclear culture piece, our faculty work very hard to indoctrinate students from their first day in the class into the safety culture of the nuclear industry. We do offer Nuclear Workforce Academy, which is a special six-week program in the summer for disadvantaged youth to have an introduction to the nuclear field as they're graduating from high school. Those credits then can be applied to an associate degree. It's a way for us to reach those who may not have been exposed to these opportunities before and encourage them to enter into the field. We also are now using simulated radiation through a software program. We were not able to do this before. We don't have any licensed sources on campus, but through simulation now, we can actually simulate an environment where a student would be entering into a live environment, hot environment. We're going to be building a new facility. I'll talk to tell you about a little bit about that, and we do like our students to be engaged in meetings. And I do want to mention to you that an additional internship we're going to be developing this summer with the help from URS is that we will have a student who will complete their internship at a facility in the UK. So that'll be a great opportunity for international work experience as well. Nuclear quality systems, very quickly. We did begin an associate degree in nuclear quality systems a year ago. It is both quality assurance and quality control orientation. I think you just heard from Mr. Burns the importance of QA/QC within the manufacturing of components. And this is certainly an area that there's a great need. We're only one of two associate degree programs in the United States. So we do have four students who are preparing to graduate. They are already being interviewed, and we anticipate 100% placement rate for that group, the first group coming out of that program. Again, it is both aligned with the INPO and NEI and NRC standards, as well as the Department of Energy standards. In fact, it was Department of Energy who first approached us about this program a couple of years ago, and we had actually individuals from the Department of Energy come to campus from all over the United States to give input on what this program should look like. I'm very grateful to SCAN and VC Summer. They actually entered into a joint partnership with us for a year to loan a QA/QC expert from their staff to help us build this curriculum as well. So we've had a lot of input from the business industry on that. Again, courses in that program, nuclear fundamentals, and then a good deal of nuclear quality systems inspection and auditing courses. We recently upgraded our welding program from a diploma to an associate degree. Again, we did benchmarking trips. We went to Newport News again. It was how we established our initial relationship with them, with Lincoln Electric and also Lorain Community College, who has quite a robust program. We learned from them. We built into the program certifications through the American Welding Society. We are building a new facility that will house the welding program, and we have purchased a virtual welder, which is a great tool for teaching the early skills for students before they actually go live with the equipment. And we use it for our youth camps to give youth in the middle school grades a great experience in the nuclear arena without actually having to use live equipment. Added full-time faculty, and we are going to add a rad worker component to our welding program as well, using obviously the expertise from our radiation protection program, which will be a great crosswalk for the students, again making them highly marketable. Out of this associate degree program, we have several students who will be graduating this spring, and I've already had a couple employers who said just send them straight to us. So there might be some competition for those students, which again is great for us. We teach structural, industrial, and nuclear and pipe welding. This is the pipe welding, obviously, that the nuclear industry is particularly interested in. We're going to be aided in that by the construction of a new Center for Energy and Advanced Manufacturing, which we'll be breaking ground for in June. It is funded by four different sources of funds, part of it a capital campaign, which we're nearly complete now, and I'm proud to say that we're going to be able to build this building debt-free. This is the design of the building. Here's the welding lab in the back. This will be an outside training prop so that we can teach overhead welding. This will be fabrication, advanced manufacturing, our nuclear labs, and our quality assurance, which will include a flow loop, which probably means something to Mr. Burns, important instructional tool for the management of operations within a nuclear facility. This is a companion building. Over right here, there is another facility in which we teach our other advanced manufacturing as well as chemical programs, and so we'll be using those buildings in tandem with each other. May I answer any questions for you?
Thank you, Susan. Questions?
Susan, on the 10,000 that you mentioned, what we're going to be needing down the road, in your contacts and you're doing, is that doable?
It's going to be a challenge. Now, that includes the gamut across all, it was actually 47 different job categories that were in benchmarked in that. From the technical standpoint, because Midlands Tech is doing part of the training, we're doing part of the training, actually over in Augusta, they're doing some training. What we've done is specialize in certain areas, so we're not necessarily, so we're complementing each other, therefore we're able to enter and graduate more students. It is going to be a challenge, though, because the retirement curves are coming quickly, and there will be multiple facilities opening within the same time frame, coming operational within the same time frame. Obviously, the utilities are in the approximate same time frame. The salt waste processing facility is essentially the same time frame at the site. And, of course, we don't know what's going to happen with MOX, but if it should become operational, it would be not too far behind that as well. So the reason we did this nuclear workforce initiative is we saw it as a great opportunity to provide our citizens in South Carolina high-level training to enter into high-paying jobs. And so we're working on it really hard to meet that goal.
No, I think it's a great program.
Thank you. Thank you. Any other questions?
I have a couple. Just to follow with Claude, is this nuclear workforce initiative unique in the country?
It is unique. There are other collaboratives. The grant I mentioned is somewhat of that. What is unique about this, and it is the Aiken, Augusta area, it is the fact that the higher education institutions entered into a ladies and gentlemen's agreement about what they would specialize in, and therefore don't compete on the same programs. That's very important because one of the hardest, most difficult things to manage with these educational programs are qualified faculty. Obviously, they can be employed within the private sector, probably more competitively in terms of salary, so trying to compete head-to-head for the same faculty and also competing for the same interested student body within a small region didn't make any sense. And as a result of that, we've been able to leverage our resources much more effectively. We've had the ability to leverage that relationship for a Department of Energy grant as well that's helped with some of the funding of this high-end equipment.
So then that brings on, can you speak just a little bit about who your faculty are? And I guess, Sunny, you could do the same thing. And then the probably my final question is, are you thinking of expanding, adding additional programs or enlarging the programs that you have? Do you have?
Let me answer the second one first. When we build the facility, we are going to be able to add student capacity. Right now, our welding facility is limited in the number of students that we can service, and so it is sort of a rate-limiting factor, but we will have about double, not quite double, but almost double the number of booths that we have right now, and additional training props. So that will help us in admitting more students to the programs. In terms of the faculty, our faculty in the radiation protection field, he initially came out of the Navy, out of the nuclear Navy, worked in the nuclear utility field for many, many years before retiring from that early and coming to us to head our program. We also had a loan executive from the Savannah River site when we first started this program. So what we were able to do was to partner that faculty with Utility World, with the Department of Energy person, and therefore bring both of those expertise into the curricula. And we do have a number of adjunct faculty who teach at the Department of Energy now. Our welding faculty both have experience related to industry and or the nuclear arena. So we have a depth there as well. And in the nuclear quality systems, we, as I mentioned, we were very fortunate to have a loaned executive from VC Summer for some time before we were able to hire our own nuclear quality systems faculty that had utility and Department of Energy experience. So we've been fortunate from that standpoint, but they are a scarce resource.
And then you add programs as the utility or the industry says this would be something useful.
That's true, but just to kind of give you the framework, the Nuclear Energy Institute has uniform curriculum for very standardized areas that match the technical areas that are accredited by EMPO under your training accreditation. So you have your maintenance area, chemistry, the radiation protection, the operator, licensed and non-licensed operator, and what am I forgetting, Mr. Burns? I'm forgetting something. There's another one. Engineering, that's right. So they mirror that area, and between the region of Columbia to Augusta, we have those covered.
Okay, good. Thank you.
You're okay, thank you.
Questions?
Where do most of your students come from, Susan?
I would say most of them are coming from approximately a 30-mile radius, but we do have students who come from outside that area as well, even from other states. One of the things that we do make very clear to them upon entry to the program is that they first need to be willing to not be in the immediate area for their internship. For instance, the students who are at Newport News right now, and also to realize that they certainly may need to move to Columbia or somewhere else for a position. VC Summer still, and the site are still our primary employers, but as you saw on the map, we do have students who are now all over the United States, and so the program has built that reputation.
And are most of them 18, 19 years old coming out of high school, or are they?
No. It's really interesting. We do have some that are 18, 19, but I would say the majority of the students, the average age is approximately 25, but it ranges anywhere from 18 to 55. In fact, one of our graduates this year will be 55 when she graduates. We find that many of the students entering into the nuclear arena are career changers. They've already had a career somewhere else doing something else. It might have been technical, it might not have been. Many of them already have a baccalaureate degree. Mm-hmm. So it's a real mixture of individuals, but definitely I would say it's unusual for the average student to be 18. It's more mid-20s.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Susan. Dr. White.
While she's getting the presentation up, I'm Sonny White, a privileged to serve as president of Midlands Technical College. I am a chemist by training, spent 31 years in the global chemicals pharmaceuticals business before I got in this two-year high education business about 13 years ago, been at Midlands for 8 years. I'm a native South Carolinian, was a nuclear weapons officer in the military, and have a cousin who was the chief nuclear officer at one time at Duke, so I've always been interested in this nuclear industry. At Midlands Technical College, we serve our service area, Fairfield County, where the two new nuclear facilities are being built, Lexington and Richland counties here in the Midlands of South Carolina. You've seen similar charts, but I just want to show you the concentration of why it's so important for what Susan is doing down at Gaiken, what we're doing at Midlands now, and Travis at the University of South Carolina. You'll see here existing units in green there, and you know that there are seven existing units in the state of South Carolina right now, and then the proposed units with the two being built down at Plant Vogtle, the two at VC Summer, and eventually Duke has talked about two up in Cherokee County, and then you see the others right outside the radius there. So we're right in the middle of all of this. Well, what was the opportunity? Steve Burns' people came to us in 2008 and said, you know, we can no longer get operators, nuclear operators from the Navy. Said, we would like for you to set up this program. Well, that was a real challenge to Midlands Technical College because, first of all, we did not have a program. In fact, if you looked around the nation at that particular time, only Plant Vogel was talking to Augusta Tech about being able to train for them. And if you look at the other existing programs, because throughout the United States, most of them were non-operative because no new sites were being built. So we were right in the middle of that when Steve Burns' people came and said, with this $10 billion investment there, can you help us to train those people? And that became the real charge for Midlands Technical College, was how to set up this program to be able to supply a nuclear operator, a non-licensed nuclear operator that they would take and eventually get to be a licensed operator there at VC Summer. So we took on that challenge, and we had to work very closely with Mr. Byrne and all of his people, because as I said, we had mechanical engineers, we had chemical engineers, we have electrical engineers, among others. However, we did not have any trained or at that time who could deliver what they needed. So thanks to Mr. Byrne and South Carolina Electric and Gas, what they did then was provided the instructors to the college over the first year and year and a half, in order for our instructors to be able to learn, those engineers that we had on site and in our program, for our instructors to be able to take it over. So I want to thank South Carolina Electric and Gas for not only having the need for the future workforce, but being able to sit with us, develop the curriculum, provide the instructors for the time in which we were then able to take our instructors and get to where we needed to be. At the same time, at our campus, on our Beltline campus, we have limited space. Fortunately, we already were in the midst on schedule to build a new engineering technologies and sciences building on our Northeast campus, which is out 77, close to Fairfield County, in the direction of VC Summer. So fortunately, last year we were able to bring on that $28 million project, 82,000 square foot facility, and in that facility is our nuclear operator training program. Very much like Susan Windsor just talked about, Midlands Technical College not only was able, with the help of South Carolina Electric and Gas, to develop this nuclear operator training program. Once we developed it, and in conjunction with South Carolina Electric and Gas, they set up a boot camp where the students would go in the summer. What that did was provide our students with a chance to see what being a nuclear operator is all about. That's a critical, if not the most critical, position within the plant. So it exposes them in the boot camp in the summer to what it's all about. It also gave South Carolina Electric and Gas a chance to look at those people and say, who are the best people? Whom do we want to hire in the future? Additionally, they worked with us, just like Dr. Windsor stated, to help us to get the nuclear uniform certification for the nuclear operators at the college, and through that process in 2011, we were granted the ability to do that. And yesterday, we had a third graduation. We had 18 students who graduated and got the NUCP as a nuclear operator there. We had 10 folks down from South Carolina Electric and Gas. And if you looked at those students yesterday, you would find out that the 18, first of all, only 10 were there. 8 of them were already working, so they couldn't be present. And we thought that was a good thing, that they were out working already. Secondly, out of the 18, I think 5 were female, 3 were minority, average age around 30. So you got a great diversity in those nuclear operators, and those who are getting to the highest standard with the nuclear uniform curriculum standard. We additionally been able to get grants with support from South Carolina Electric Gas, Westinghouse, and Chicago Bridge and Iron. We've been able to get 3 grants from the Nuclear Regulatory Commission to develop curriculum and to provide scholarships for the nuclear operator training program. And additionally, we've gotten grants to support the nuclear labs at the college, not only from South Carolina Electric and Gas, but also from the U.S. Department of Energy. We also, as Dr. Windsor pointed out, are a partner also with Aiken Technical College.